Martin Luther's comment, the great reformer, he said, I preach on justification every week because every week my people forget it.
Welcome to Connections with Rich and Bobby. Hi, I'm Rich, Rich Homeris.
And I'm Bobby, Bobby Hamlin. On this podcast, we're continuing our phone conversation with John Lindell, the wonderful lead pastor at James River Church in the Springfield, Missouri area.
He shares why, after 30 years of ministry, he's decided to write his first book about God's grace from the book of Romans entitled Soul Set Free.
It sounds like, you know, knowing that as things were falling together and people were talking to you, that that's a great indication that God does want you to write this book.
Most of all, what I hope is just that when people read it, that they have an encounter that, if they're a believer, is liberating. Honestly, I think a lot of people stop at Romans chapter 3 and they're understanding their explanation of grace and even of justification. And then they move on to Romans 8, chapter 4, and then 5, 6, and 7 are left untouched because it's deep, it's weighty, it requires, I think, some concentration both on the part of the reader and some depth on the part of the writer to be able to explain some of these concepts. But if you don't understand those concepts, you'll never really grasp grace.
Yes.
And so I think too many people stop at the forgiveness, and they stop at justification without really defining justification. And so my hope was to really take people a little bit deeper and to explain some of those things. And at the same time, I was motivated by Martin Luther's comment, the great reformer. He said, I preach on justification every week because every week my people forget it. And I think it's easy for us to forget what God has done and how we're accepted by God. And I think there's a lot of people who walk through life in the Christian life and feel a bit of condemnation. You know, I'm in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, where it says, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Again, from my experience as a pastor, I would say most Christians interpret that verse practically as there is therefore now less condemnation.
Right.
They feel like they failed God and they're disappointed in themselves. And I think all of that, when a person understands grace and the enormity of God's grace and the magnitude of his grace and the depth of his forgiveness and the extent of righteousness and his desire for relationship, when a person understands that, it changes how you view yourself in God's eyes. And I think moves a person forward in their walk with the Lord and certainly in their joy.
Yes. You know, in your book, Soul Set Free, you use the pathway of the book of Romans, like you've been mentioning. And you describe the central vision of Romans, as well as Paul's works, can be summed up in two words. Can you share with our listeners what those two words are?
Yeah, the two words are the gospel. It's the good news. It's not just good news. It is the best news. It's the news everybody needs. It's the news that sets people free. And I think there's a lot of Christians that really need a fresh revelation of just what God has done for them. I'm convinced most Christians don't grasp the enormity of it or the scope of it, and consequently, in some sense, put themselves back under a self-imposed law where they're really trying to do what Paul rebuked the Galatians, where he said, having begun in the Spirit, are you now trying to perfect yourself by human effort? And I think that's what a lot of people do. They're trying through their own efforts to make themselves more like Jesus.
Yes, and it is a balance, isn't it? Because you can go either way. Some people probably say, wow, great, I'm saved. And then they go on with their lives as they've always lived, instead of trying to become Christ-like and learn from the Lord what he wants us to be doing. And yet, on the other hand, there are so many of us that, even though initially we know that this is a free gift. Salvation is a free gift. And when we're first saved, we're just bowled over by that. But then as we go along, we do try to follow what we know and are taught would make a, quote, good Christian, unquote, such as attending church, maybe doing charity work, you know, volunteering or whatever it is, and don't realize that, you know, as the guilt comes, as you're not measuring up to what you think God wants, that you really end up trying to earn it all over again. You know, what comes to mind is what David said in Psalm 51 when he said, "Revive in me the joy of my deliverance." And it's like we may know in that moment of deliverance, but then we forget.
And I think that's so true. For a lot of believers, I think they've lost the joy of salvation. I think a lot of people have not been, for whatever reason, really come to understand what grace means. And for me, I'd have to say this. I took classes on Romans, and I took classes on Galatians in the collegiate level. So you would think that I would know all about the book of Romans and understand what grace means. I mean, I'm a student of God's Word and have studied all of my life, and yet I came to an awareness that whatever grace is, I'm not grasping it.
Well, we'll return to our talk with Pastor John Lindell in just a moment. You're listening to Connections with Rich and Bobby, and we'd love to connect with you. You can friend us on Facebook, post on Instagram, or tweet us on Twitter.
And you can also email us at connect2richandbobby@gmail.com or write to us at Connections, P.O. Box 1610, that's 1610, Alameda, California, 94501. Now let's return to our talk with Pastor Lindell as he continues talking about really discovering the beauty of God's grace.
Years ago, I was reading, you know, after Johnny Cash passed away, there were a lot of his biographies. And I wasn't a big Cash fan, didn't know a lot about him. But as I read this biography, it became obvious, here's a man who had a lot of struggles in his life. And yet, when it was all said and done, this is a man who loved God and wanted to follow God, but his life was very, very messy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what it spoke to me as a pastor is that whatever my view of grace has been up to this point, God's grace is a whole lot wider and a whole lot deeper than I probably would have thought it was. And God understands, and I'm not advocating that it doesn't matter how people live, and I'm not advocating, hey, just go ahead and sin because there's grace. But I do think grace, rightly, biblically proclaimed, creates in people's mind, when we understand the scale of his forgiveness and the scope of it, that he's forgiven all of our sins, past, present, and future. A lot of people struggle with the future sin part, but they forget on the cross, when God laid all of our sin on Jesus and poured out his righteous judgment on Christ for our sin, all of our sin at that point was future. We hadn't committed any of them yet, but God was able to supernaturally place our sins on him. So when we come to Christ, forgiven us of all of our sins. So a person could say, well, if he's forgiven me of all my sin, why does it matter how I live? Why can't I go on sinning? And I think when we really start beginning to move and help people understand the scale of God's forgiveness, it initiates the question, well, does it matter how I live? That's when I think we've really correctly defined grace, when people start asking, well, you mean it doesn't matter how I live? Because that's what they said about Paul.
Mm.
When Paul describes grace, they twice shall go on sinning, that grace may increase. And Paul says, heaven forbid, may it never be. I think a lot of times what happens when grace is preached, the preacher or the teacher will get up and talk about it, but then immediately throw in a bunch of qualifiers because we're so afraid people are going to go crazy that we're afraid to really give voice, what you could almost say is a expansive, wild forgiveness on God's part.
Yeah.
It's wild that he would say, knowing all I know about you, I'm going to forgive you, and I'm going to forgive you of everything. And you know, I think one of the things that Christians need to be reminded of, because when you love the Lord, you're heartbroken if you fail him. And we have to be careful what we do with that. When we correctly understand grace, then we understand that God's not nearly as surprised at our failures as we are.
Hmm.
And that he knows where we're at. He's forgiven us, and he's drawing close to us. And we need, rather than to run from him or impose a distance with him, we need to draw close to him. And we seek that relationship with him. We walk in that relationship with him because we have a relationship with him that's not based on law. It's based on love.
You also mention in your book about the good news. The good news can't really be good news until we understand the bad news. Can you share a little bit about what you mean by that, the bad news?
You know, if we tell people, oh, there's good news, Jesus forgives you of your sin, but they don't understand sin, and they don't understand that they've committed sin, and they don't understand the penalty of the sin, then the good news makes no sense at all and is absolutely meaningless to people. And so it's important, as we're presenting the gospel, we have to let people know that there is a moral law, that there is a law that's written on the hearts of all people, and that we all are accountable, every single one of us, and that all of us will give an account. This is what Jesus died with, to clear the account for us. And so the bad news is that we are sinners. We don't become sinners when we sin. We were born sinners. In Adam, we all sinned. And it's as if what happened to him happened to us. And so our relationship and our capacity for knowledge of God has been marred. And only when that is dealt with through the forgiveness of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross can our relationship with God be restored, can our sin be forgiven, can we have that friendship with God. And so the bad news is we're all sinners, and that the wages of sin is death, eternal death in hell. I think along the way, though, one of the things that's important for people to understand is that when we talk about God punishing sin and we talk about the wrath of God and we use that word, people have a tendency to, again, superimpose on that our own human experience of that. And so we can view it as vindictive, wrath as being vindictive or unjustly angry or out of control anger.
Mm-hmm.
And God's wrath towards sin is none of those things. God's wrath towards sin is his opposition, his steadfast opposition to evil. God mm-hmm. is opposed to evil. And that is why God stops evil. That is why God expresses wrath toward evil. And I think when people can understand that and that explanation and that understanding God's wrath and how that works is really important in any explanation of the gospel.
We've been visiting with John Lindell, the lead pastor of James River Church in Springfield, Missouri. He's been sharing about his book entitled Soul Set Free, Why Grace is More Liberating Than You Believe. Now it's available online and at most book outlets, or simply go to their website at soulsetfree.live to order the book or to find out more.
Also, if you're enjoying this feature, we encourage you to subscribe to our podcast. You can also friend us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and tweet us on Twitter.
You can also contact us by email at connect2richandbobby, that's the number 2, and Bobby is spelled B-O-B-B-I, at gmail.com. Or you can write to us at Connections, P.O. Box 1610, Alameda, California, 94501.
This is Connections, connecting with one another, as Romans 1 verse 12 says, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. So we thank you for listening, and remember, tell others and spread the word.
And don't forget to join us next time on Connections with Rich and Bobby.